out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday, the 8th of January, 2019, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioarian.com. Well, we've got lots of excitement in the news today, all over a protest that happened yesterday while the MP Anna Sudbury was being interviewed by the BBC. Anna Sudbury is a Remainer MP who is seen as a traitor by the Brexiteers because she has consistently tried to advocate for another referendum, to overturn the referendum result, to stay in the EU. So she's basically totally ignoring the democratic will of the people and refuses to accept that the vote didn't go her way. Well, she was being interviewed yesterday by the BBC, and the BBC have got a stage outside the Houses of Parliament, which they've erected so that they can interview MPs on their way to and fro in the build-up to Theresa May's vote, which should be happening in there in a few days. So they were interviewing Anna Sudbury yesterday, and Brexiteers were outside. They weren't actually on the stage. They were outside. The stage is open air. And they were chanting. And they were chanting, liar, liar, liar. And they were chanting, Sudbury is a Nazi. Sudbury is a Nazi. No, nothing offensive, no swearing. And she took great offence at this. And it was quite funny to hear it on the news. Because right up until now, every time they've had that stage there, there's been Remainer protesters there. There's been a guy there dressed in European Union flag with a big European Union hat, and they're saying, stay in the EU, stay in the EU, give us another referendum, give us the people's vote. Constantly, all the time, there is Remainer protesters. And this is the first time that it's actually been Brexiteer protesters. So of course, they're now calling for the police to intervene. They're saying that it's a public order offence. They're questioning whether it's hate speech to call somebody a Nazi, which is particularly hilarious because that's what the left wing accuse nationalists of being all the time. But whenever there's a nationalist protest, that's the term of abuse, the main term of abuse that gets hurled at the nationalists. So it would be particularly good if they did make calling people Nazi hate speech, because that would affect the left wing. I mean, for quite a while now, ethno-nationalists have been saying, well, look, it's wrong to be calling the left fascists, and it's wrong to be calling these politicians Nazis because they're not nationalists. But in actual fact, if it's going to get those names seen as being hate speech, then yeah, it could actually backfire on them, which is pretty entertaining. And the fact they're making such a fuss about this is incredible. There is footage also of her leaving this stage, walking back to Parliament. I think she's realised that there wasn't any hate speech involved. So what they're now trying to say is that she was intimidated. She was intimidated and she was threatened as she was walking back to the Houses of Parliament. But you can watch on the video, and there's a BBC camera that's filming her. And then there are a couple of lads that are also filming her, obviously members of the public. One of them's draped in a Union Jack. The other one has a Make America Great Again hat on. And they're obviously trying to do some type of citizen journalism. They're talking to her, and you can see that she is laughing and smiling as she is walking along. She's enjoying the attention. That's not somebody who's feeling intimidated or threatened. That's somebody who's enjoying themselves. She's smiling and she's laughing. And yet they're now trying to say that she was intimidated and threatened by this. And the police are looking over the footage. I think there are 50 MPs that have written to the police saying that this is not on, and politicians have to be protected. This morning, Ed Miliband was on the news and he was saying nobody should be called a Nazi. Nobody at all should be called a Nazi. So that's, again, quite a turn up for the books, really, that they're thinking of banning people from using Nazi as a term of abuse. And then they had another politician on there, and this was the same politician that the BBC showed Radio Aryan to, in there, just to say, look at these terrible people here, this should be banned. And he was on there as well. And it was like he was trying to see if he could get as many buzzwords into a short space of time as possible, almost like he was a robot. It was homophobia, racism, far right, extremism, blah, 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 extremism, far right, Nazis, homophobia, blah, blah, anti-Semitism, blah, blah, homophobia, racism, talking really, really fast. And he was trying to say that this was the extreme far right, again, which doesn't make any sense at all. It's the extreme far right that get called Nazis, not the extreme far right that call other people Nazis. And he was saying that he'd had death threats. And the BBC said, well, what death threats are these? And he said on Twitter, he was called a batty boy. And Twitter apparently said that was okay, which he was most upset about. And I gather from that that he's an open homosexual. So, and that brings up the question of, if people are saying that they are homosexual and then you call them homosexual, what's the issue with that? What's the problem with that? Isn't that the identity that they've chosen for themselves? They make a big point about being defined by what they actually do in bed and who their sexual partners are. They want to be identified with that. So it's all very strange and very contradictory, and also highly entertaining. I must admit, I was really laughing when I was watching the interview yesterday afternoon, and you could just hear this liar, 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 and Subri is a Nazi. And you just think these MPs are disgusted at this, and they don't think they should have to put up with it. But these are their constituents. These are the people that the MPs are supposed to be representing. And instead of the people cheering them on and saying, what a great job you're doing, the people are quite clearly upset and annoyed at what the politicians are doing. And we should have a right to hold our politicians to account. Okay, maybe calling her a Nazi is a strong language, but that's just, you know, the working class can use a lot stronger language than that to criticize politicians. It was a fairly mild language, I would suggest. I mean, far worse than this was the doorstepping of Jacob Rees-Mogg and the intimidation of his children, which they sort of mention as adding on to all the rest, which is just basically attacking the far right. And then they say, oh, yes, and of course, there was this doorstepping of Jacob Rees-Mogg, as if they're trying to pretend to be even-handed here. But that was 10 times worse when an anarchist turned up on his doorstep and was telling his children, your daddy is a very horrible man, and trying to intimidate them. Politicians are in the public eye, and they should have to face up to the consequences of their actions. And if you've got a politician like Anna Sudbury, who is going against the will of the people and trying to overturn the referendum, then she has to expect to get criticism. Nobody laid a hand on her. There was no accusations of assault. It was just the fact that she couldn't stand up to this criticism. And again, the MPs are saying, well, this is very worrying because it always seems to be women that this happens to. And I don't think anybody is picking on women. It's the women that have said they want equality. They want to be treated just like the men. And I don't think it would have mattered if it had been a male MP or a female MP that was a traitor. They would have still been calling them a Nazi, these Brexiteers. I don't think they just did it because she was a woman. But of course, they're trying to concentrate on that. And the Speaker of the House, John Bercow, who's been accused of impropriety towards women himself, is of course trying to clear his name. So he's standing up and saying what a great feminist he is and how he's trying to stand up for this Supri woman. Anyway, it's all very entertaining and quite out of the blue, actually. So we'll just have to see what happens. It would be great if they made the word Nazi into a hate speech word. That would be good. Anyway, I have got some other news for you today. Any of you that have listened to the Aryan Britannia episode this week will be aware that the British Army have put out a new series of adverts. One of them was to me millennials, which featured a half-caste woman taking selfies on her phone and playing around with her phone, obviously instead of paying attention to the world around her. And apparently this is the sort of people that the army now want. But there was also another picture on there saying that the army wanted snowflakes, and it had this word snowflake put there. And then it had a picture of somebody under the snowflake. And I think most people just assumed that the people in these adverts were models. Apparently not. Apparently the people that were in the adverts were actual members of the army. And of course, this particular member of the army is furious that they've been calling him a snowflake. I mean, this advertising campaign has really backfired on them. A Scots Guardsman is quitting the army after his picture was used below the word snowflakes in a controversial recruitment campaign, the Mail on Sunday can reveal. Guardsman Stephen McWhirter, 28, who has protected the Queen at Buckingham Palace, had no idea his face would appear alongside the slogan, "Snowflakes, the army needs you and your compassion," before the poster was unveiled last week. Guardsman McWhirter has told friends he has been bombarded with mocking messages from colleagues and feels that because he was not forewarned, the army has left him open to ridicule. He says he will resign at the earliest opportunity. The soldier, who is based at Wellington Barracks in London, expressed his fury on Facebook in a discussion with other troops dismayed about the £1.5 million campaign. One squaddy wrote, "Imagine the army taking a photo of you and writing snowflake in massive bold letters above your head. I'd be signed straight off." To which Guardsman McWhirter responded, "Don't effing worry, mate. I am." I mean, you really don't expect your employers to put pictures of you, posters up of you, with an insult written above your head. I mean, that's what this basically is. They are insulting this soldier. And the reason for them insulting him is because they don't actually understand what the word snowflake means. They're that out of touch. I've seen a Negro technology expert on the BBC trying to explain what a snowflake is and getting it completely wrong. In later posts, he said he would formally submit his resignation at the earliest available opportunity. Another soldier wrote, "Chances are he was told to sign a form allowing them to use his image. That being said, he still has grounds for complaint as they have ended his career by corporate bullying and harassment, potentially even affecting his future employment." Guardsman McWhirter replied, "Correct." Well, yes, this is. I mean, this is total bullying and harassment and really insulting. You know, to imagine that your employers would do something like that, I should imagine he's going to sue them for an absolute fortune for this. The Scots Guardman has also told friends that army bosses never even mentioned the word snowflakes, a derogatory term for overly sensitive young people, when he agreed his photo could be used. Guardsman McWhirter from Irvine, Scotland, joined the army in 2016. Under the terms of his employment, he will be able to hand in his notice to top brass in 5 months. He passed out of the Army's Infantry Training Centre at Catterick, North Yorkshire in 2017 and has performed public duties with the Scots Guards in London and Edinburgh. His decision to speak out on social media will cause huge embarrassment for Army bosses who have already been forced to defend their latest hugely expensive advertising campaign, which comes in the midst of a recruitment crisis. Now, apparently, the last advertising campaign, they've been saying, oh, this was brilliant. At least 90% of the people we wanted applied to join the Army. Okay, well, how many of them were actually accepted then? Apparently, only about 6 or 7% were actually accepted. So this advertising company is completely failing to actually do what it's promised to do, and yet the Army is still continuing to use them. Six posters of the current campaign echo Lord Kitchener's famous "Your country needs you" slogan, but for a millennial audience, and seeks to persuade snowflakes, phone zombies, binge gamers, and selfie addicts that their often criticised character traits can be turned into battle-winning skills. What were they expecting? Were they expecting this soldier to be pleased that he'd been labelled as a snowflake by the British Army? This guy is never going to be able to live this down. But while top brass insists the message of the adverts is that the Army sees beyond stereotypes to spot a person's potential, serving troops and veterans have suggested the campaign undermines the skills of soldiers. It doesn't just undermine them, it insults them. Civilian critics have also raised concerns that using criticisms of young people, even when seeking to challenge these judgments, will turn off the audience the Army is trying to reach. Tom Slater, editor of youth culture magazine Spiked, said the problem was that no one identifies as a snowflake. They might as well have put up an advert for idiots or sissies. It's just some other kind of insulting word. Nobody is going to identify as being a snowflake and be proud of that. Nobody thinks they are a snowflake. Even these SJWs that are calling for safe spaces and no language that they might not understand how to counteract with an argument in universities, they don't identify themselves as snowflakes. They hate the word. The Your Army Needs You campaign, devised by leading brand communication agency Karmarama, has also inspired a series of parodies that have been shared online. One mock-up of the official poster features an Islamic State fighter and the headline, "Returning Home Jihadis, Your Army Needs You and Your Combat Experience." And that isn't actually too far from the truth. In Sweden, these returning home jihadis, they gave them cars and driving lessons and a council flat. And there are calls that this is the way that we should deal with them, is to help them out and give them all the benefits that we possibly can. And maybe that will prevent them from trying to blow us up. Of course, it will have completely the opposite effect. It will just give them the resources that they need to carry out attacks. The campaign follows last year's £1.6 million recruitment drive called This Is Belonging, which featured adverts saying it was fine for soldiers to cry, pray, and show emotions, even while on operations. Well, this campaign last year was also saying that it's okay to indulge in buggery while you're in the Army as well. One of them was aimed at homosexuals. According to the Ministry of Defence, the adverts resulted in applications to be a regular soldier hitting a 5-year high. Yes, but as I said, the actual applications that could be accepted were about 6%. Army bosses have been on a mission in recent years to soften the image of the armed forces. Why on earth would you want to soften the image of the people that are supposed to be defending the country? You want to have a terrifying image of the armed forces that are supposed to be defending the country. You don't want to soften them up. They're supposed to be trained killers, not babysitters and nursery school teachers. In December 2017, the Mail on Sunday revealed how top brass had signed off on plans to drop the Army's Be the Best motto. The decision was reversed by Defence Secretary Gavin Williamson. Colonel Ben Wild, Assistant Director of Army Recruiting, said, "We are not looking for anyone of any less quality. Our standards have not reduced in any way." Well, why on earth are they advertising to people who don't actually have the qualities you need then? Because they're just going to get turned away. As we see, only about 7% of the recruits actually qualified. Colonel Ben Wild continued, "What we are trying to do is show that anyone, regardless of their background, has opportunities in the British Army." I mean, how ridiculous is that? Do you really want criminals in the Army? Do you really want disabled people in the Army? Apparently, from what he's saying here, yes, they do. No doubt next year they'll be targeting their adverts at Down syndrome patients. Continuing, "They have skills they might not even know they possess, which we can unlock in terms of potential and make the most in the military. It comes as the Army has repeatedly failed to meet recruitment targets. The Defence Select Committee was told in October that it had 77,000 fully trained troops compared with a target of 82,500. Capita was controversially awarded the £495 million recruitment contract in 2012, but the Army has not recruited the number of soldiers it needs in any year since. And Capita was also awarded the contract to do the disability assessments for the disability benefits. And about 70% of the people that they said weren't disabled have then questioned that decision in a tribunal and have been awarded the benefits. So they're no good at taking over that, privatising that part of the government's remit, and they're no good at privatising this part of the Army, and yet the government still seems to want to be using Capita, even though it continually fails. But just to make matters even worse for this chap that is resigning because of this insult, the Ministry of Defence are now refuting the account of the soldier who has reportedly threatened to quit over a snowflake recruitment poster. Guardsman Steve McWhirter, 28, appears on a poster reminiscent of Lord Kitchener's Your Country Needs You campaign, alongside the words, "Snowflakes, your army needs you and your compassion." He reportedly told friends he agreed his photo could be used by the MOD, but that the word snowflakes was never mentioned. The phrase is used as a derogatory term for overly sensitive and typically young people. Colonel Ben Wild, Assistant Director of Army Recruiting, said, "The soldiers who took part in this campaign were all volunteers who understand that the Army needs to reach out to all parts of society to find the best people for its ranks. The volunteers gave their permission to appear on TV and in the posters and were fully informed about the striking language and how it would resonate with young people with a wide variety of valuable skills." Now, that is just rubbing salt into the wound. What they are saying there is that this soldier was quite happy to be called a snowflake. So as if it isn't bad enough that they've told the whole world that he is a snowflake, what they're now doing is saying, no, you said you were a snowflake. I mean, I would be so insulted if this was me. And you would expect the Army to just keep quiet about this, not rub salt into the wound like this and say that, you know, he pretty much volunteered to be called a snowflake. Around 120 people volunteered for the campaign, with 25 chosen to take part. The MOD say 25 people gave permission to be used in the TV campaign and the posters, and 10 of those people were actually used in the poster photo shoot. The department say participants were aware of the campaign details and that as a result, McWhirter would have known that the word snowflake would be used with his image. Poor guy. I mean, he really is never going to live that down. Forevermore, he's going to be Snowflake McWhirter. So we've got Anna Sudbury and Ed Miliband and the rest of the government saying it's unacceptable to be calling someone a Nazi and that should be banned. While at the same time, we've got the army, a department of the government, that are labelling people as snowflakes and doubling down on it and saying that the guy volunteered to be called a snowflake as well, just to make matters worse. So we've gone from black soldiers that are suing the army because the British weather is cold and they forgot to put on warm clothes to now white soldiers that are suing the army because they melt in the hot weather. And that's what snowflakes do, isn't it? This drive for diversity everywhere does nothing but cause problems. This drive for diversity in the army has just cost it lots of money in people suing them. I really do dread to think what will be on the posters next year. And you really do have to feel sorry for the members of the army who keep having these insults heaped upon their heads by the top brass. And of course, the people that are in charge of the army, the politicians, none of them have actually been in the army. They've all had civilian jobs that have nothing whatsoever to do with it. And they just get parachuted into that position. And because every government department has got to promote diversity, they apply it to this, which, as you can see, is failing. You contrast this, adverts for snowflakes, me, millennials and crybabies, and you contrast that with the Russian army. I mean, just contrast it with a Nordic resistance movement that dive into icy lakes and hold their breath underwater and then jump out of the lake and roll in the snow. I mean, that's the sort of thing you expect the army to be doing, not looking for snowflakes and people that are addicted to taking selfies. And I guess you could say this guy, this soldier that unfortunately had his face used for this, at least he's going to make a lot of money out of it. I should imagine he'd be able to sue them for a small fortune for doing this. So the army had better hope that they can prove that he did actually know he was going to be called that, because I doubt very much that he did. Perhaps he didn't read the small print or something like that. Anyway, that brings us to the end of the podcast today. Thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Eddie Morrison. God bless and hail victory.
You're tuned in to Radio Aryan.